Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Come on.
Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Alistair Still. Alistair, are you ready to do this?
You bet. Let's go. Great to be here today.
Let's go. Excited to have you on. Alistair is a CEO of Gold Mining, Inc. He's had over 25 years experience working with major gold miners all over the world, such as Newmont, Goldcorp, Placer Dome, King Cross Gold, and Ignacio Silt Eagle. Alistair, excited to have you on. Tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, yeah, first of all, thanks very much for having me on today. Pleasure to be here. My background is as a geologist. I started going to school for geology, and then it led me into a career in the mining business. And I was fortunate enough to take on a career that was really my passion, to be outdoors and exploring for new things, going to different parts of the world, and, you know, a love for rocks and minerals. And it led me into a great career. So that was my passion, which I followed into my career. And now I'm working for a junior explorer and development company called Gold Mining, Inc. It's an exciting time to be in that industry, and I'm hopefully able to use the experience I've gained working at operations and project development and in corporate development, and to develop an extensive portfolio that Gold Mining has into some very significant value for our shareholders.
Nice. How does one discover that you have a passion for geology? Was it just as a kid, you're always picking up rocks on the ground? Is it that simple?
Well, it could be. In my case, actually, it was a family friend, both my brother and myself, that we chummed with as kids. His father was a geologist, and he would be off traveling to wild and exciting parts of the world and would come back with, you know, cool rocks and souvenirs and tales from these far off lands. And I always thought, hey, what a cool thing to do that would be. And I think that was one of my first interests in the profession. And that geologist, actually, who was quite a well-known geologist, who would become inducted into the Canadian Mining Hall of Fame. And, you know, he sort of, I guess, inspired me early on into that career path.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that. So we're having this conversation on March the 7th, and obviously going through a really, really tough time in the world. And a byproduct of that is the commodity prices spiking. And you've obviously been a fan of gold for a long time. How were you looking at gold a month ago, and how are you thinking about it now?
Well, I think, you know, obviously there's been some, you know, very specific impacts on the price recently. And as much as, you know, the situation in Ukraine has caused a dramatic rise in various commodity prices, from precious metals to oil, et cetera, I guess first and foremost, we have to recognize that, you know, that's a tragedy that's being imparted upon part of the globe, which is impacting people, you know, globally in a variety of different ways. And so, you know, we manage that, and we work in a world where, you know, it is a global environment. But fundamentally, I don't think it has changed our view on precious metals, which is that we think there's a strong demand for them. We see that demand increasing. We've seen over the last 10 years that major mining companies have not been able to replace their reserves. You know, by their annual production rates, their drill bit has not been able to replace that. So they're out looking for new projects. We have a company that's very rich in projects. We're developing those and advancing those. So we think it's a great situation by having a portfolio of strong assets in a market where we think the gold price can continue to rise, even independent of the situation in the Ukraine. The fundamentals are there for a stronger metal price. And so I think it's a good time to be investing in the metals space, and particularly precious metals, which have historically been a great safe haven and protection against inflation, and a go-to as something to help steady the ship and have as a security measure and diversification in the portfolio when there are some choppier times in the markets.
Okay, I appreciate that. Why have these major miners been unable to, or it's not that they maybe have been unable to, it's just that they haven't been able, they just haven't replaced the resources, for lack of a better term?
I think it really attributes to two factors. The first one was that, in the last sort of 10 years of a cycle, the major mining companies were really striving to be better stewards of capital and showing better financial metrics and better economic performance to their shareholders so they could generate profits and pay out dividends. And in some cases, and in many cases, actually, that came at the expense of the future. So they would cut back on exploration, focus on the near-term profits or short-term gains at the expense of the long-term future in some cases. And exploration really is a bit of a long-term gain. So if you've taken a pause or a gap, or you've scaled back on exploration, it's not something you can turn on instantly and have instant results. It can take years to catch up again. And I think that's exactly what we've seen is an underfunding of exploration that's caught up to the mining industry. And the second thing I think that's sort of combined with that is that as resources are mined throughout the world, there's becoming harder and harder to find. It's cliche, but many of the easy deposits have been found. The historical deposits were outcropping at surface, and literally people would stumble across them, or prospectors or geologists would find them right at surface. Now, people are going to further places around the globe. Deposits are getting deeper. And that really means that now people need to get smarter. There's new technology coming into exploration, which is great. The mining industry really is adapting to the current climate conditions. They're adapting to new standards and regulations in ESG. So that's important to see that our industry is adapting to that. And I think technology will really be a focus going forward and finding the next major deposits.
How long has there been the relationship between great big mining companies that actually do the mining and junior miners like yourself who are out looking for these new opportunities? Has that always been the case, or is that?
I think, yes, I think that largely has been the case, where the juniors always had a role to play, and that is, they were able to raise money, and really it was a risk reward game. They would take earlier stage projects, and the potential for a higher return was there, but also greater risk that they may not find anything. I would also say that more in the past, though, that some of the bigger mining companies, such as Placer Dome was a classic Canadian and global mining company, but it was really a institutional setup where it had geologists in all corners of the globe, regional offices, exploration, geophysicists, geochemists scattered everywhere. And again, as things started to scale back and people tried to focus in what were tough margins, some of the exploration got scaled back and it got pushed down to some of the juniors who really by way of proxy do some of the exploration for some of the major mining companies. And I think in the last 5 years or so, that has started to come back. The majors are reinvesting into exploration and reinvesting into the future. So it's really a symbiotic relationship that it's been there, really for, since the markets and mining really became entwined, and it's an important part of making discoveries to go forward.
How important is it where the gold is found? It seems to me that it would be really, really important and ideal to have it in a place where there's infrastructure, where there's stability. But it could be that it's just so valuable that if you find the right deposit, that you'll do it anywhere.
It's a great question. And certainly for our company, as an example, at Gold Mining Inc., we have focused our portfolio entirely within the Americas. It's jurisdictions that we feel we know best. We have experience working in. There's geopolitical stability there. And we think that that counts for a lot, and for our shareholders, having that comfort in those areas where we're operating in. It doesn't mean it's always going to be easy, but there's a certain familiarity or a rhythm to working in those regions or jurisdictions, which you can have stability in and continuity. However, I mean, as we know, it is it's a global industry. Companies are looking further afield into different jurisdictions where there is certainly potential for finding new discoveries and making new mines. It may be slightly higher risk, but it also comes with some cases, you know, significant reward. So it is a balance. Our company has chosen the more stable route, focusing the Americas, but there are a number of companies who are either truly global or will focus in some higher risk jurisdictions, which at least for the time being, our company is more comfortable staying in the Americas.
Yeah. Well, that certainly intellectually to me makes sense. I mean, obviously, as a company, they need to responsible to the shareholders. And so they're looking at the near term, and as we were talking about earlier, but then also needing to replace those deposits. And so that makes sense. I've been reading about how new technology is coming online that will be able to, help us or help folks like you to do a better job of actually looking into the earth in a new way. Tell me a little bit about how you utilize technology.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Well, I think one of the key changes that's happened in the mining exploration space in the last couple of years has really been the introduction and now the more prevalent use in some cases of artificial intelligence, which can be used to generate new targets and generate new discoveries. The one thing I would point towards some of that technology, though, is that it's largely still dependent on geologists or engineers who are inputting the data into a system so that it can be interpreted and targets generated. And one might argue that the real benefit of some of the major data collection efforts to come up with targeting has really been the collection of data itself. And there's an historic trove of data out there that's been collected over decades or a century plus in some mining camps of information. Many of it is still on paper drawn sections or handwritten drill logs, and making that information digitally compatible for interpretation and new modeling techniques, not just artificial intelligence, but 3D modeling tools and techniques, really gives the geologists an extra ability to interpret and seek targets which may have been overlooked in the past. You can look at so much more data and consider so many new variables where in the past you were limited to what you had available at your fingertips. It's really a data-driven world in much of the exploration work ongoing these days.
Yeah, well, that certainly does make sense. I take for granted a lot of the technology that most people who are not in the mining business utilize on a daily basis. But certainly, there are just vast territories of land that I imagine folks like you have been looking at and poring over for generations and generations, looking for gold. And so, how do you take all that wonderful information, it's probably on a piece of paper like you're talking about, and then actually turn it into something you can use?
Exactly. And I give one example in a past job where I was working in a mining town in northern Ontario. There was a historical mine which was at one point one of the largest mines in in the whole Western Hemisphere, the Hollinger mine in Timmins Gold Camp. And we found a historic trove of data there. And there were drill holes on the property that were quite literally handwritten in paper logbooks. And there was 100,000 drill logs handwritten into logbooks.
Wow.
It's a tremendous amount of data. So at that time, we assembled a team of data entry personnel to comb through that data, put it into a digital world, and then we could interpret it and put a new resource and a new mining shape on it. Because technology has changed from the turn of the previous century, where it was classic underground tunnel and drill and blast mining, into many of the large scale mining methods that exist today. So it was an effort where you could mine the data, as was the first step before you could mine the gold, just to mine the data.
So your competition, I imagine that there are quite a few gold miners out there. What is it that's differentiating you from the others?
It's a great question, and one that we do get asked frequently. And I think there's two key parts of our company that really, I think, do set us apart from some of our peers. And that is, the first of all is the assets. And the assets to me are your physical assets and your people. I think we have a strong and experienced team that have been with the company, in some cases our chairman and founder, since day one. He stuck with the company, he created it, he hasn't sold a single share, so he's a long-term holder. That's Amir Adnani, a tremendous entrepreneur who's also created several other mining companies. So we have a great team of people that we work with. And then it's the assets that we have. We have 11 projects throughout the Americas with mineral resources on them, some 16 million gold equivalent ounces in the measured and indicated category, and a further 16 million gold equivalent ounces in inferred category. And even without knowing all the differences between measured, indicated, and inferred in different categories, that's an awful lot of gold resource. 32 million ounces is way above the limits most junior miners would have in our books. So that's a tremendous resource. And the other thing that's important within that is that it's not a single entity company. So we have diversity in the portfolio. We're not sole sourced on one project, which can be boom or bust. We have different projects will advance that spreads the risk and gives us greater opportunity for success. And as well, it's not just gold. We have a significant copper resource as well, and the copper occurs with our gold deposits. We have some 2.7 billion pounds of copper in our resources. There's a little silver as well, and there are 27 million ounces of silver. So it's a diversification in the portfolio, diversification in the metals. And to top it all off, we have a tremendous balance sheet. And many junior mining companies will kind of be a hand-to-mouth process of, they raise a bit of money, spend it, and raise a bit of money. I think our company has shown that we're taking a different approach, more of a long-term approach. The last time we did a major public raise was in 2016. So we've been very efficient with our capital and not having to dilute our shareholders. And one great example of how we were able to do that, last year we created a new company called Gold Royalty Corp. And that was created by writing royalties on our existing portfolio, putting that into a new vehicle, and launching it as an IPO on the New York Stock Exchange. And today our company holds 20 million shares in that company. It's worth approximately $100 million, Canadian dollars anyway, but $80 million US dollars as of today's date. And that's a real boost that many companies don't have, is to have such a strong balance sheet combined with such strong assets as well.
Yeah, I know from what mild experience I have with mining and junior miners, is the majority are, as you described, sort of hand to mouth and run out of money and need to go sell shares or give shares away for more capital, and then they spend that, and it's sort of like a dog chasing its tail. So that's excellent. And certainly a good foresight on your part to be able to go with that Gold Royalty Corp. I love it. Well, Alistair, people are ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
Well, I guess it started with how you asked your first question today is, why do you do what you do? And for me, it was all about, passion of wanting to do something. And I think if you have the passion to do something, do it well, commit yourself to it and go all in. I think that's kind of a key a key lesson for me, and I think that's key for our company. You know, we've been committed to acquiring assets. Now we're going to advance those projects. We're in it for the long term. It's not a short-term flip for us. It's a long-term game. We're showing real growth over time. And I think that's the same thing people need to approach their careers with. You know, get a passion for something, go all in. And at the same time you're doing that, don't be afraid to try new things. You know, for me, I had very, stable job in a classic mining town in Northern Ontario. I'd had my kids born and raised there, and I probably could have stayed my career there, but I wanted to try new things. I ventured out to a role in the corporate side of things to try and look at the corporate development side, and that led to an opportunity to go to build a mine in southern Argentina, in Patagonia, and that turned into a 3.5 year adventure into about as far away as I could travel from my house, learn a new language, see some amazing people, learn a new culture. And I think it's those kind of experiences that add to your passion, add to your, not just your resume, but your life experiences that make you better adapted, a stronger person and more experienced and that much more adept to recognize people's talent and also the talent of opportunities within assets that may present themselves to them. So take something on with a passion, go all in with it, and don't be afraid to step outside the comfort zone to learn new things as you advance yourself.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets a come on. Alistair, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you and how can they engage with you and Gold Mining Inc.?
Well, we currently trade on the New York Stock Exchange American under the symbol GLDG. We're also on the Toronto Stock Exchange, very easy ticker symbol, G-O-L-D, gold. And people can find a lot of information or sign up for newsletters on our website, www.goldmining.com.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Alistair your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to goldmining.com. That is quite a website address right there, Alistair. And you can find them on the New York Stock Exchange under GLDG and the Toronto TSX Stock Exchange under G-O-L-D. Pretty easy to find. Thanks again, Alistair.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I look forward to speaking again in the future, George.
Likewise. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.